Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
While you've been out, while you've been at work, while you've been taking care of stuff, we've compiled a composite of the latest and biggest stories of the day to help you get caught up. This is 830 News on the Go.
With the Monday 830 on the Go, I'm Taylor Rivera. Minneapolis police are investigating a triple shooting over the weekend. Crews have begun work on a stretch of Highway 65 in the North Metro, and one of the nation's largest sporting events is about to begin in the Twin Cities. But first, a new Star Tribune poll shows Amy Klobuchar with a comfortable lead against all three Republicans still trying to gain the party's nomination for Minnesota governor. The poll shows Klobuchar with 48% of the vote against Kendall Qualls and Lisa Damith, and more than 50% over Mike Lindell. WCCO political analyst Blois Olson.
It leaves 12 to 14% undecided. And that tells me that, you know, there is a good gap there that still have to make up their mind.
This is the first poll in the Minnesota governor's race since last month's party conventions. Hennepin County Democrats meeting over the weekend in St. Louis Park, endorsing State Representative Cedric Frazier for county attorney to replace Mary Moriarty. She's not running for re-election. Failing to gain the party endorsement was Hennepin County Sheriff DeWanna Witt, who withdrew her name after several close votes. She needed 60% of the vote for the endorsement and fell just short in each of the ballots. Minneapolis police are investigating a triple shooting over the weekend that left one woman dead and two others injured.
Police responded to a report of a shooting in the 2700 block of Golden Valley Road early Saturday morning. When they got there, they found a man in his 40s suffering from a non-life-threatening injury. He was taken to North Memorial Medical Center. Officers later determined that the shooting may have been related to a ShotSpotter activation in the 1400 block of Golden Valley Road. Once there, police say they found a woman in her 40s who'd been shot. And as they continued to search the area, they found a third victim, a woman in her 30s, who was shot and died at the scene. Police are trying to put together the sequence of events that led up to the shootings. So far, no arrests. Susie Jones, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Twin Cities shelters continue to face an ongoing capacity strain amid what leaders call an invisible family homelessness crisis. Support network leaders say that despite lower official shelter counts, these spaces remain overwhelmed and struggling to meet demand after Operation Metro Surge. CEO of People Serving People, Huang Murphy.
Minnesotans really showed up for each other during Operation Metro Surge. But now that it's summer, and those school pressures, what we've seen is that mutual aid has gone down. And what that means is that then there's going to be more reliance on traditional spaces like our shelter.
He says it's a problem that's keeping family homelessness hidden.
Summer is actually a time when family homelessness can be easier to hide and it can be more difficult for families to seek services.
He says local shelters need more support from the city to be able to continue their work. The State Department of Transportation is turning off the lights on bridges that span the Mississippi River in southeast Minnesota. The reason? Too many mayflies have been drawn by the light and are swarming at Red Wing, Wabasha, and Winona. What's left behind are slippery road conditions, although folks living in the region say they smell pretty bad too. State officials say they'll turn on the bridge lights after the mayflies stop hatching later this summer. Crews have begun work on a stretch of Highway 65 in the North Metro, with MnDOT officials describing the project as transforming a highway into a freeway through the city of Blaine. The area between 121st and 97th Avenues includes widening the roadway, creating interchanges, and building a pedestrian bridge near the 114th Avenue. There will be some lane closures on Highway 65, and some side streets will be closed before the $195 million project is complete. Coming off a record year of West Nile cases in Minnesota last year, crews with the Metropolitan Mosquito Control District are working to prevent a repeat this year.
There are 52 different kinds of mosquitoes in Minnesota. They're mostly a nuisance, but there is a public health concern as well.
In Minnesota, the biggest one is West Nile virus. And last year was actually a record year for West Nile. Just in the Twin Cities, there were about 50 human cases and over 100, I think like 140 statewide.
Metropolitan Mosquito Control District's Alex Carlson.
The species that carries West Nile is also not as rain dependent because they find standing water and lay their eggs. And a lot of times that's human habitat. So if we leave out a bucket of water or a pile of tires that fills up with water, those mosquitoes will fly in and lay their eggs.
He says most people who get West Nile often feel like they have the flu.
But it is treatable. A lot of people do recover from it, but it can be pretty nasty. It can definitely knock you out.
Susie Jones, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Finally, one of the nation's largest sporting events is about to begin in the Twin Cities.
The numbers for Special Olympics USA are staggering. 3,000 athletes, 1,500 coaches, and more than 10,000 volunteers. The opening ceremony Saturday at Huntington Bank Stadium on the U of M campus. By the time the event comes to a close on June 26th, the athletes will have competed in 16 official Olympic-type team and individual sports, including, for the first time in the game's history, pickleball and cornhole. Special Olympics USA is for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. It is part of the global Special Olympics movement dating back to the first games held in 1968 in Chicago. Organizers say the games might have a local economic impact of more than $70 million. Al Schock, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Thanks for listening to WCCO's 830 On The Go. You can find each day's On The Go in all of our podcasts at WCCORadio.com or by downloading the Odyssey app. I'm Taylor Rivera, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.